So watch this. When he revealed the Father, the Holy, him and the Holy Spirit working in conjunction, and the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness.
Right.
Let him. Now, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. Why did the Holy Spirit lead him into the wilderness? Because Jesus had to face Satan in the flesh. Had to meet him in the flesh and overcome him. To let him know, you're not what you did before, that ain't gonna work with me. And then when I finish with you, I'm gonna go down the cross. I'm gonna take on all the sin that you have caused people to walk in, and I'm gonna put them in their right position because of me. Are you seeing this? Watch this now, watch this. Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, now look, the Holy Spirit made this unfair. The Holy Spirit drained Jesus physically so it could be just soul and spirit on soul and spirit. So say you can come with your bet. Look, the very first thing. Look, watch this. He said, the very first thing. He said, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, this is not by accident. This is a setup for Satan to realize he's about to be. This is not by accident.
Right.
The very first thing. Remember, the Holy Spirit is setting this all up.
Right.
He's pushing Jesus into the wilderness. Told him, I need you to fast for 40 days and 40 nights so you could be hungry.
Right.
Why? So that he know when Satan comes and start trying to make an offer, it can be equivalent to the same offer he made to Adam and Eve.
Right. Right.
So this time, the second Adam ain't going down this road. So watch this. He said, when the tempter came to him, verse 3, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So Satan was trying to tempt Jesus. And see, his tricks don't change. He does not change. He's a liar. So he does not change. So that's why you have to spend time with the Father. Let him reveal himself to you. So that you can recognize Satan when he lies. When you go to John the 10th chapter, I know I went over this before, but this is a good time to fit this back in. Because I want you to see how important it is to be able to, we like to say hear the voice of God. But I want to say distinguish the voice of God. I want to say distinguished,
right.
Being able to distinguish the voice of God. Out of all the voices you hear, being able to recognize the voice of God. John the 10th chapter, watch this. John the 10th chapter. See, Jesus was able to distinguish the voice of God. Because if you remember, in that same passage, in that fourth chapter of Matthew's, Satan started quoting scriptures. So Jesus had to be able to distinguish the agenda behind quoting these scriptures and what God was really saying to me. That's why you have to let the Father reveal himself to you. This is how he's going to build the church so that we can go to purpose two, so that the gates of hell can be shut down. Watch this. John the 10th chapter, verse 27. Jesus is talking. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them that follow me. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Those that spend time with me, those that constantly spend time with me will be able to hear my voice. That's a promise. The more time you spend with God, the clearer his voice comes. The more time you spend with God, the clearer his voice becomes. This is why a lot of people, it's the wrong time to try to learn to hear the voice of God is when you're in trouble. Yeah, a lot of voices talking, a lot of voices saying things. So therefore, if a lot of voices saying things, it's hard for you to distinguish. But if you spend time with God consistently, his voice becomes clearer and clearer, and it's easier to hear the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God is not about decibels. It's not about sound. It's about relationship and fellowship. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world. It'll be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind puts you in a position that you can prove. That word prove simply means to recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So hearing the voice of God is more about recognition than sound. Well, that's very, very key. Hearing the voice of God is more about recognition, excuse me, than sound. So Jesus, through his living, destroyed the works of the devil. Number two, through his dying, he destroyed all the power of the devil. Go to Hebrews, the second chapter. Hebrews, the second chapter. Verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all the lifetime subject to bondage. So Jesus, through his death, destroyed all the power of the devil. Through his resurrection, he destroyed all the presence of the devil. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15. Verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through his resurrection, he destroyed all the presence of the devil. All right? Through his indestructible life in us, he destroys all the seed of the devil. In other words, Jesus living in us makes dormant the sin nature. Jesus living in us, Galatians 2:20. Watch this, Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. Watch this. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, not after the flesh. I live in the flesh, but I walk after the Spirit. You see this? What makes that difference? Christ living in me. Christ living in me will allow me to live in the flesh, but not walk after the flesh. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by the faith. I live by the assignment. Because Jesus did what he did, I'm able to do what God has called me to do. Because Christ lives in me, which destroys all the seed of the devil. It makes dormant the sin nature that is in me. So therefore, with Christ living in me, the things that I used to do, I don't want to do it anymore. Is that making sense? Through his exaltation, he destroyed all the dominion of the devil. That second chapter of Acts. Acts 2, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall come in a like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So you see his exaltation. You know what Jesus' exaltation was equivalent to in our today, age, and time? It's equivalent to a victory parade. It's equivalent to a victory parade after whatever team that particular year wins, whatever championship that they win, whether it's in baseball or whether it's the World Series, the Super Bowl, or the NBA Finals. When they go home, they have a victory parade for them, where people outside just brand celebrating their team. What Jesus triumphant walk into heaven was a victory parade, because there was nothing Satan could do about it. There was nothing he can do. There was nothing he can do about this exchange of power. There's nothing he can do about Jesus dying on the cross. There was nothing he could do by him getting up. There was nothing he could do by him presenting himself to the Father. It was nothing Satan can do. And so when Jesus put the keys in our hand, there was nothing Satan can do. So he's resorted back to his old trick. His old trick is getting us not to realize who we are. That's why the first purpose of the church is to reveal the Father. To reveal the Father. I can't reveal who I don't know. So if I can't reveal who I don't know, how am I going to know how to shut down the gates of hell? Right. Is this making sense? Yes, sir. Wow. Number three, and we'll be finished with this particular chapter, and we'll close here. The church, number three, the church wants you. The first purpose of the church is to reveal the Father, right? I cannot reveal, once again, I'm building up to this. I can't reveal the Father if I don't know him, right? The second purpose of the church is to shut down the gates of hell. I can't stop Satan if I don't know who I am and who Christ is in me. Because if I don't realize who Christ is in me, then if I don't know who I am in Christ, then Satan will do the same thing he did to Adam and Eve. Right. Begin to tell them things and cause them to question. See, Adam and Eve didn't really know who they were. Right. God said they had dominion. They had dominion. Wow. If they had dominion, really, to be honest, if they wanted to know what knowledge of what good and evil was, all they do go back to God. Right. But Satan wants to get us outside of our character. Right. Outside of the character of Jesus Christ living on the inside of us. Right. And that's his only goal. Right. Because if he can get us outside of who we are in Christ, then he know his gates can't be shut down. Right. He know his kingdom can't be stopped. Because the only way his kingdom can be stopped, he knows this. Satan knows the only way his kingdom can be stopped is if Jesus is involved. Right. Wow. If he can get Jesus not to be involved, he knows his kingdom can reign there. Right. So here it is. If Jesus is not involved, watch this. When I say Jesus is not involved, I'm not talking about accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. We pass accepting him as our Savior. Because I know people that accepted Christ as their Savior and their tails dragging all along because Satan keep whooping them. Right. Because they won't allow the Father to be revealed to them so they can shut down the gates of hell. Is this making sense? So with us realizing who Jesus is on the inside of us, we now have the ability to shut down the gates of hell. Once the gates of hell is shut down, what it really means to shut down the gates of hell? It means to establish, watch this, simple as you can get, establish a group of people that won't be affected by Satan's ploys. All right. That's the church. That's right. Have a group so that city can be set on a hill. Right. so that they'll, so the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous can run into. You know, it's talking about the church. We carry the name of the Lord. So if we carry the name of the Lord, we have to establish a community that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. That's why the apostolic is so important. That's why divine order is so important. That's why having the same agenda is so important. Because Satan conquers division. He conquers when people are divided. Divide and conquer. But when everybody is spending time with the Father and allowing him to reveal himself to them, it gives everybody the same agenda. When everybody's on the same agenda, then the church can be built, which can shut down the gates of hell. Gates just simply means opening for things to be revealed. When we are standing as the church, we shut down the gates of hell. His kingdom cannot advance. Right? So once, purpose number two, to shut down the gates of hell, which leads us to number three. Number three is the church must extend the kingdom without limitations. Extend the kingdom. Extend the kingdom of God. What is a kingdom? A kingdom is simply God's ways of doing things. That's simply what it is. God's ways of doing things. One of the things about the Roman Empire, when they began to conquer, one of the things they did was, that's really, to be honest, that's why Jesus had apostles, because that was he came up during the Roman times when they had the Roman Empire, and he would use their natural terms to get those that were following to understand what he was trying to establish. The Roman Empire actually sent in apostles. They would send apostles to new territories, what? For the purpose of establishing their culture, their way of thinking. Whenever they conquered a new land, they would send apostles in. That's what the term comes from. They would send apostles in to establish doctrine. The Roman way of thinking. Are you seeing this? So the same thing happens with us. Same thing. So a kingdom is God's ways of doing things. So once we are in alignment and we're letting the Father reveal himself to us so that we can reveal the Father, that means we can then shut down the gates of hell. The kingdom of darkness cannot expand. Then we can expand the kingdom of God to go into dark territories. You see, and you thought you getting born again was about you. You thought getting born again was about you. And it's not about you. You are a part of something that is greater than you. And as you connect yourself to the greater, you become greater. Is this making sense?
Yes, sir.
Matthew, go back to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew 16 chapter, verse 19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The church is established on truth, not facts. So we can't deal with facts. We have to deal with truth. What that means? Yes, it is a fact that things are not going the way it should be. But that doesn't affect us dealing with truth.
Right.
Truth always overrides facts.
Yes, amen.
We will neither be given keys. We neither will be given keys if we are immature or too young to be responsible to keep the keys. When the church comes into maturity and spiritual stature, she will have access to the keys of the kingdom. Now, what that means? That means if we don't do the first two. What's the first two? Reveal the Father. How reveal the Father? By me knowing the Father. So I can make a decision. I want the Father to be revealed through me. Once he's revealed through me, then I recognize who Christ is in me. Once I recognize who Christ is in me, I then realize that the Christ in me is making dormant this sin nature. So once this sin nature is lying dormant in me and can't do nothing, because the life I now live in the flesh, I live because Jesus died on the cross. Now it puts me in a position to begin to mature so that I can operate in these keys.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
You see the process?
Yes, sir.
See, God is not. There are a lot of mysteries in the kingdom, but the process to access those mysteries is not complicated. There are a lot of mysteries in the kingdom, but the process to access those mysteries is not difficult. So if I don't worry about the mysteries, I'm concerned about the process. I will access the mysteries. 1 John 2. Watch this. Go to 1 John 2. First John 2. 1 John 2, verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Me knowing all things is based on the unction from the Holy One. So if I focus on being at one with the Holy One, I don't have to retain all knowledge at the same time. All I got to do is be able to maintain my covenant and maintain my fellowship with the Holy One. Talking about the Spirit of God. When I do that, I have access to everything that's unknown. When I stay connected to the Holy Spirit, I have access to everything that's unknown. And when the time is necessary for me to know it, you reveal it. You see, So now my focus is not trying to access the mysteries. My focus is access God.
Right.
Access the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Let the Christ that's on the inside of me become dominant.
Right. Right.
When I do that, I will be walking in mysteries.
Right. Right.
Remember now what happened to Simon, who became Peter.
Mm-hmm.
He was with Jesus, spending time with Jesus, right? Spending time with Jesus,
right.
And Jesus asked a question. Thank you, Holy Spirit. A lot of times, situations that happen in our life is God asking us questions.
Oh, wow.
How are you going to respond to this?
Right.
How are you going to respond? Are you going to respond like your old self?
Right.
Or are you going to respond like I'm living on the inside of you?
Right.
Because Peter was asked a question. Now, remember now, yeah, two examples. He asked all the disciples questions, really. He asked them all, who do men say that I am?
Right.
And they start saying who men said that they thought he was. Then he said, who do you say that I am? And the only one who responded was Peter.
Yeah.
Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, once again, Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. So you see again this process of not worrying about the mysteries, because you will know what you need to know when you need to know it if you stay connected to the one who knows all things. Is this making sense? So even in our lives, when we run into situations, it's no time for you to panic. People who panic in tough situations haven't been spending time with God.
Right. Right. Wow.
People who panic in tough situations have not been spending time with God.
Yeah.
Because if you've been spending time with God, Your question is, okay, God, what's up? How are we gonna handle this? God, what question? God, are you asking me something? What are you asking me? What you want me to see?
That's right.
Is this making sense?
Yes, sir.
If we don't ever get comfortable with this process, then it's gonna be hard for us to establish the kingdom. Because you got to realize, we are the kingdom of light. And we are going into the kingdom of darkness. Sometimes you walk into places you can't see. So you have to trust the Holy Spirit. How can you trust somebody you don't spend time with? Is this? There will be times. In your circle of influence, I say your circle of influence, what is your circle of influence? Where you work, your family. There will be times when you're dealing with certain people and the Holy Spirit alerts you on something to say or to do. And if you don't know how to hear the voice of God, you're going to question it. So if you're going to question it, how can his kingdom be established? Is this making sense? Watch this. When the church moves on earth, heaven will respond to the church with all their resources and reinforcement. Jesus only spoke to things the Father spoke to him. Jesus only did the things the Father instructed him to do. If we are to maintain our prevailing position over Satan, we must do the same thing that Jesus did. He only spoke what the Father told him to speak, and only did what the Father told him to do. This is why letting the Father reveal himself to you is important. When we live in the Spirit, we can have the power to dominate the works of the devil. We can operate on earth without limitations because the surpassing greatness of his power is working in and through us who have believed. Now listen to this. This is a statement that the author has. The undivided kingdom of God. The undivided kingdom of God will manifest itself across the earth and will crush everything into subjection to his feet. It is God's desire that the church, through his son Jesus, will become the ultimate instrument to execute and finish God's will on the earth. Talking about the purpose of the church. The church will become God's operational base on this earth as Jesus was when he was on this earth. Last statement. Whatever God has begun with Christ must find its ultimate and final expression and execution through the church. Turn me to Ephesians, the third chapter. I'm going to say that again. Whatever God has begun with Christ must find its ultimate and final expression and execution through the church. Ephesians, the third chapter. Ephesians 3, verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus. Are you seeing that? So God began something with Jesus, but he's expecting us to finish it. One more scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. See, this is, oh my God, Jeremiah 29:11. Turn there. We know this scripture, but I want you to read it. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So now, what God is saying here, he was talking to Jeremiah, but what he's saying here, because the same, what he said to Jeremiah applies to all of us. What God is saying here is, I know your end. Now, you can make your own, but I know your end. You can make up your own end if you want to, but I know your end. I've already mapped it out. That's why I need you to access my thoughts. Come, let us reason together. Isaiah 1:18, come let us reason together. Let us put our minds together. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove or recognize the good and acceptable will of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Philippians 2. Are you seeing this? So therefore, when we allow the thoughts of God to infiltrate our thoughts and to dominate our thoughts, for it to allow God to reveal himself to us so that we can reveal him, what it does, it puts us in a position that we access those thoughts and we wind up in that expected end. And the dreams of God can be fulfilled. Now you see why faith is not about you. Hebrews 11:1. Now, my assignment is the stuff that brings to pass the dreams of God. That's what that scripture is really saying. My actions, my Holy Ghost-led actions, brings to pass the dreams of God. Think about it. Let it sink in. Let that sink in. Now, right now, what you do, so that right now, that's why Matthew 6:34 is important. Go to Matthew 6:34. We're going to close there. Got a minute left. Turn there quick. Matthew 6:34, because people gloss over 6:34. Right. It says, take no thought for the morrow. For tomorrow or tomorrow shall take thought of things of itself. Sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. That's why now I'm focusing on right now. God, what is God telling me to do right now? Because if I can follow God's voice right now, it'll take care of, because he knows that he's already mapped it out. Is this making sense? So therefore, now faith, my assignment at this moment brings to reality. My actions, me being trusting God, me believing and trusting God, brings into the natural, through my actions, God's dream. God couldn't save Noah them if Noah hadn't, by faith, built the ark. He couldn't, by faith, if Joshua had not heard him. So all these things are humans that act out God's thoughts. When you act out God's thoughts, you bring his dreams to pass. I'll see y'all next week. You have a good night.